Welcome to the Stephen Mansfield Podcast.
Well, welcome to the Stephen Mansfield Podcast, where we look at history and current events through the lens of faith, through the lens of character, and through the lens of leadership. It's great to have you with me. Let's dive in. I want to do something in about 10 to 15 minutes here in this episode that is often done at universities and in war colleges and military academies around the world at length. It takes months, it takes years. But I want to make sure we're familiar with something and applying it to our modern context. We are, in our modern world, perpetually at war, and I don't believe that's going to end. Somewhere in the world, not just the United States, but different regions of the world, different nations are at war. Right now, you've got the war in Gaza slash Israel. You've got the mounting tensions between Israel and Iran. You've got the situation in Ukraine, obviously, and our other hot spots in the world. That will always be going on. And I'm not sure you're always dealing with a proportional binary, so to speak, battlefield. You're not talking about two great big forces mounting up on a battlefield. You're talking about terrorism. You're talking about police actions. You're talking about regional wars. You're talking about military actions that are not the big World War II kind of ramp up between two different opposing sides. And so I want to scan just for a few moments the famous just war theory. Because our temptation in our modern world is going to be to let our emotions and our sense of offense and our sense of outrage, perhaps even our pride, lead us into wars and guide our thinking about wars. But that's only going to produce bloodshed and damage. We've got to be just. We've got to be righteous. And so I want to bring to us, just for a few moments, a summary of the famous just war theory. Now, just war theories have been suggested by many cultures around the world. I'm going to draw largely from the Christian just war theory, which arose originally with St. Augustine. In the 4th century, St. Augustine wrote largely a document. He wrote many, many things, and they're magnificent. But the one I'm referring to now was against the Manichaeans. This was a heretical cult he was mad at, and he wrote against them. And in doing so, he outlined what became the just war theory. Later, Thomas Aquinas, in his Summa Theologica in the later Middle Ages, he added to it, fleshed it out, and helped clarify. There have been others as well. But it's come to us as the just war theory. I'll use a little Latin for all that in just a moment. I have participated in seminars and teaching this. I have heard it taught at the military academies. I've helped folks think it through regarding some events around the world. I am certainly not the world's expert, not even close, but I am fascinated with it. I think it's a good guide. I'm glad it's being discussed in the war colleges and military academies around the world, and I think it ought to be forefront of mind for many of our leading military thinkers today. So the just war theory is an attempt to bring some moral, righteous framing for two things: jus ad bellum, the right or the just way to go to war, and jus in bello, the right conduct of war. If you're writing this down, jus is spelled in Latin J-U-S, and then ad, A-D, and then bellum, B-U-L-L-U-M, which means war. So jus ad bellum is the right to go to war. This is what ought to be considered by a nation's leaders before they go to war. And here are some of the principles. Now, there are many versions of this. People will say there are other principles that ought to be added. Maybe some of these ought to be removed. But for our current purposes, these are the principles. These are the building blocks of a just war theory, as I see it and as I think are most relevant to what we're about today. So jus ad bellum, the right to go to war, one of the first conditions is that you have right authority. What does that mean? St. Augustine would have been thinking of, who is your sovereign? Who is your king? Who is your monarch? What's your righteous, just authority? Who's in charge and is declaring that war? In our more modern context, it would be the government of a nation, the parliament, the governing bodies, the president. Who is in a position, who is the right person, the sovereign, to declare that war. And the reason that we talk about it in those terms, the reason that this is important is that it means you can't have some illegitimate authority just take off and declare war. In an American context today, you wouldn't have the governor of Florida just go off and declare war with a foreign nation. You have to have right authority. Who's in charge, who's empowered to make the decision, is the right, using the old term sovereign, making that decision. Then second of all, is the cause just? If all that the U.S. is doing is stealing ships on in a shipping lane, or making a move for gold or oil, or deposing a foreign leader that the president doesn't happen to like, well, that's not a just cause. But if it's to restore, if it's to end tyranny, if it's to repel an invasion, if it's to lift suppression and domination of evil, that would be a just cause. So if you're invaded, if people are being slaughtered by the millions in a part of the world, etc., that would be a just cause. So you understand that's one of the big principles. Then also, what is your intent? Just intent. You can imagine these things in Latin. I'll do it in English. Just intent, to promote good and to avoid evil. Okay, what's the intent? Is it just to punish? Is it just to destroy? Do we invade? I'm making this up, of course, Mexico, just to obliterate Mexico because we don't like them? Or is it to take over Paris so we can occupy their, you know, restaurants and museums? No, of course, I'm being silly, but I'm making the point. What's the intention of the invasion? Is to restore order? Is to restore democracy? Is it to restore a righteous order? Is it because atrocities are being committed and those atrocities have to be ended? And then finally, what's the likelihood of success? And another way to ask this is the damage that's going to be done by the war less than the damage that's being corrected? In other words, if you're going to do more damage by invading than is being done by the evil you're trying to obliterate, then you have to rethink your purpose in the war. So, jus ad bellum, the right to go to war, is a matter of having the right authority or the right sovereign, a just cause, good intent in that cause to promote evil, to promote good and avoid evil, and then a likelihood of success. And the success has got to be defined as doing more good than the evil that is already there, of course, and not inflicting more damage than the damage already being done by the force you're trying to acquire victory over. Now, jus in bello, you can pretty much imagine, but we want to keep this forefront because we have violated it as a nation, the United States. We have seen it violated around the world. But first of all, and it's one that we talk about a great deal, is proportionality. Proportionality. In other words, use only as much force as is necessary to remove the evil. In other words, if Mexico is allowing people to come across our border, you don't drop a nuclear bomb on Mexico City. That's not proportionality. There are responses of lesser intensity that can do good, that can help solve the problem. You don't resort to the most extreme thing. You don't obliterate nations. You don't wipe out nations. You don't, let's think of some examples from history. You don't bomb dams that are then going to drown millions when all you wanted to do was to perhaps correct a wrong at sea or in shipping rights or to correct a wrong in a certain part of a country or to get that country to back off invading you or what have you. In other words, there's a certain proportionality to your response. And we've certainly seen that be abused a few times in American history, certainly in world history, we've seen that abused constantly. And now it's important we think this way because many, especially of the Western nations, have the power to completely obliviate nations. Well, is that always the just response? If we have a treaty violation, if we have something relatively a border skirmish, we have something relatively low grade, do we just bomb the heck out of them? And by the way, it's good to look at history. Did the Western powers go too far in bombing Germany? being a lover of Germany, and as I've said many times on this podcast, having a German daughter-in-law, therefore a German grandson, and having a deep love of Germany and being there a lot, I'm aware of the huge suffering inflicted on Dresden when the Allies firebombed Dresden, the bombing of Berlin, a city I lived in for many years, etc. Well, was it just? I'm not going to get into that right now, but hopefully someone was thinking about the proportionality. Was this necessary? Or was this just, we're ticked off that you guys have messed with us, that we've lost so many lives, and now we're going to make you pay? That's not proportionality. The second principle of jus in bello, meaning right conduct of war, is that the violence is largely between combatants. In other words, you want those, you know, tacticaled up and suited for war, the actual professional warriors to engage in the violence. You don't want to cause collateral damage. You don't want to destroy civilian populations. Again, that's much of what was done in Germany in World War II. Now, I have to say very, very quickly, because I had my grandfather fought in World War II, was paralyzed in the raid on Berlin, and then later recovered the use of his legs and became an aide to MacArthur in the Far East. So I'm not just blankly condemning what happened during World War II. But how do you keep the civilian populations from being engaged when you have a war like World War II, where a nation becomes an armory, where a nation becomes the launching ground of assault on other nations? You're not going to some remote battlefield and fighting between armies out in a desert somewhere, or out in some woods removed from the civilian population. You're fighting in cities. You're launching aircraft from the airport, so to speak, downtown. How do you do it? How do you pull this off? How do you engage in war in such a way that you don't involve the civilian populations? And increasingly, that's very, very difficult. And look at what's happening right now in Gaza. The fact is, Gaza had become an armed camp. Hamas ruled it, a terrorist organization. How do you wipe out Hamas without endangering civilian populations? It's a question that ought to be asked. And this just war theory, which I think is a good guide, forces us to say, will the combat largely be between, so to speak, professional combatants? In other words, the just warriors of a nation. And then finally, you have to avoid cruelty. You have to avoid cruelty. What would be an example of cruelty? Without question, an example of cruelty would have been during the American Civil War at Andersonville, where tens of thousands of Union troops were put in basically a prison camp, starved to death, left to die of disease. It was one of the cruelest moments in American history. There's no question that was not an avoiding of cruelty. Mistreating POWs, mistreating civilian populations, rape, pillage, murdering of babies like the Japanese did in the Philippines at the start of World War II. I could go on and on and on. Every nation has its sins in these areas, so I'm not picking on anybody exclusively. But the bottom line is that there are principles that ought to guide us. And the list that I'm giving comes largely out of a Christian theological thinking, but other nations have provided their version of the just war theory. And by the way, it pretty much aligns. I think I prefer the Christian, not just because I'm a Christian, but because it's a bit briefer, because it's tied to something a bit more eternal than just military thinking at the time, meaning scripture and a 2,000-year-old body of Christian theology rooted in the Judaism prior to the birth of Christianity. So I think it's valuable. I think it's worth considering. I think it's helpful, and I think it's brief. And I'm grateful that all the world's military academies ponder this and that it's pondered today in the Pentagon. I've been there for a few of those meetings. So again, the just war theory, when it comes to the right to go to war, you want the right sovereign, you want a just cause, you want good intent, the goal of promoting good and avoiding evil, and then, of course, the likelihood of success, and that success is clearly defined, and that you're doing more good than the damage previously done. And then in right conduct in war, you maintain proportionality. You're not just wiping people out left and right, just bloodletting out of some motive of vengeance or domination. The violence is largely between professional combatants who expect it, who are geared up for it, who are not innocent, so to speak, and then avoiding cruelty. And I want you to take this, I want you to learn it, and I want you to think about what's going on in the world and apply it. You might be pro-Israel, but we still have to have a strong sense of what is a just war and ask nations to align with it. We don't want Israel just wiping out non-combatants in Gaza. And I'm not picking on Israel. I'm pro-Israel. I made that very clear in this podcast. Same thing. I'm pro-Ukraine, absolutely pro-Ukraine, believe that Russia is absolutely wrong in its war. At the same time, I would speak out against Ukraine not maintaining proportionality or engaging in violence and cruelty and bloodshed largely amongst civilian populations. Why? Because you want to maintain a just war. Now, having said all of that, having set this lofty vision, let me say that the fact is that wars are horrors, wars are hell, wars are ghastly, crimes will happen, evil will happen, bloodshed will happen, generations will be tainted, which is why we want to avoid them in every way that we can. But we can't be going through battlefields and like school marms telling people what they can and can't do, can and can't shoot, you know, on every little instantaneous way. That's not what we're trying to accomplish here. Wars will happen, violence will ensue, people will die. That's what war is. But there is, for a civilized people, a moral framing that keeps us from being barbarians, that keeps us from doing the kind of damage that will taint generations. We can do that. We can do it. And that's what a just war theory helps us do. I commend this to those of you who listen to this podcast who are in Congress. I commend those of you who listen to this podcast who are in the Pentagon. I commend those of you who are in foreign governments, my British friends, a few at Sandhurst, etc., one friend at Sincere. Listen, think these things through, keep discussions going, make sure commanders in the field have got them in the back of their minds. This is how we refrain from being a barbaric people and passing bondages on to our descendants.
Stephen Mansfield is a New York Times bestselling author, a popular global speaker, and Senior Fellow for Public Leadership at Palm Beach Atlantic University. His groundbreaking books on faith and society include The Faith of George W. Bush, The Search for God in Guinness, Mansfield's Book of Manly Men, and Lincoln's Battle with God. Learn more at StephenMansfield.tv.